That is an amazing amount of mechanized mechtology.
Well, then on Discord, Recall said, "I think I have some of those. Do you want me to bring them to Adepticon?" I was like, "Yes."
You did not.
Yep. So I get
Rob,
some from Rick.
you can't have. That's just gluttony at that point. You have more than a family of robot fans would need, and you're still requiring. It's a good thing you're not a CEO of a company, because you have a propensity for psychotic behavior like that.
Well, it's better than drugs, isn't it?
Greed. Greed.
At least I'm not addicted to drugs.
That is true, but you can leave me out of this. There's nothing.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 80th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for February 2018. In this episode, we cover a certain special elite list. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And on to said episode. It's a crazy one. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast, episode 80 for, what is it? Today's February, isn't it?
Today is February.
We're a little late on this one just because of sickness, but we're in, like Flynn. Not exactly when we planned, but we're here. My name's Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And this is Dead Zone, the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a friend.
Okay. So, a little too personal. I don't want to alarm anyone, but I don't believe very many of you are my friend.
Jack, you hug everyone. Or you just hug strangers. They don't have to be friends to hug them.
Well, that's obvious. And that's why I go to court so often.
Wow. Yes, this is might be a short one. Probably not, because we ramble on. But we plan to have Community Pat on this one, but he got the plague. And his little enforcers inside his body are fighting him back. And we should have him on for 80.5 to talk about Adepticon. But instead, you just got us for this one. Sorry.
We'll make sure that's the best make-do episode you've ever heard.
We do have stuff to talk about. It's going to be on 81. We just moved it up to 80. So good times, good times. We do have lots of news. Well, not really lots of news, but we have news on a bunch of different events happening, which is cool. For some reason, people keep inviting us to events. And if you invite us, we'll talk about it. So yeah, if you find me on Facebook, I'm Rob Harper on Facebook. Do invite me to your event, and we'll put it into the show notes, and as long as there's time to talk about it, we'll talk about the event. And the first event we're talking about is Attack on Stockport, and it's a Dead Zone tournament hosted by Andrew Sharp of the Rules Committee, and it's on Saturday, February 24th, 9:30 to 5:30 at Element Games Northwest Gaming Center in Stockport, UK. UK.
And we got an invite to that because I got an afternoon free. I might just drive on over.
You might get a little wet when you drive on over.
Ooh. Promise.
It's a 4-game tournament. This is interesting, though. He's doing it a little differently. The first two games are 150 points, and the last two games at 200 points. So it's interesting. And obviously going to be lots of prizes and fun. And 15 pounds, but it includes food. That's a pretty good deal. And we will have the link to the tournament pack and the Facebook group on the show notes. So, yes, Andrew Sharp is hosting his tournament in the UK. February 24th, though. It's coming up quick. So if you're interested, you better get on that. That's next Saturday, if you're listening to this when it comes out.
That is not much time to get my aquatic vehicle ready to navigate.
You have like...
Maybe next year.
I'm picturing you in one of those, like, one of the presidents who used to drive into the water and scare his people because they didn't know it was a car. The boat was a car, or the car was a boat.
The door was ajar. I was thinking more like James Bond.
Oh, like a little lotus. Yeah.
Yeah, lotus, but I think we digress.
We do digress. There's another tournament. This time a little bit more room to get there because it's going to be on May 12th. It's in Borehamwood, UK. It's the Desolation 1, and it's hosted by the Pit Game Shop and Thor's Hammer Gaming Club. And it's at the Well End Scout Activity Center. And this is Ben Edwards' group. And it's going to be the final act of the Pit Dead Zone League that we've been following since we had Ben on. So, yes, that's another tournament you can go visit. And please, do, if you do go to any of these tournaments, take pictures, send them to us. We'd love to see them. Or if you're an organizer, send us the pictures because we'd like to see people playing the game.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to brag, you can just go, hey, these are some pictures from the tournament I won. You know, here's me getting my medal. This was my winning team when I trounced the competition. You know, just little things like that.
And speaking of results, results? What the hell was that? Speaking of results.
Results and desserts. I think I got a little sweet tooth.
The Dead Zone Search for Dr. Simmons tournament, which was held by Rick Hall back on January 21st at Evolution Games in Lansing, Michigan. We have the results. In first place is Adam Kine. I believe that's how you pronounce it, Adam. If not, let us know. I believe he's going to be at Adeptcon. He's one of the guys in the Dead Zone tournament that a lot of people are putting up there as a competition to coach. So we should be able to be interesting to see if he can get up there.
I will own him. I'm telling you right now, that guy does not stand a chance. I will be in his face. I'll be in his grill. I'll be dunking on him, and I'll be getting an empty netter for sure. So just keep that in mind.
There you go. You've been challenged, Adam. He's playing Veerman. I think, Jack, you're planning to play Veerman, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So we might get some Veerman on Veerman action.
There's a good chance.
Second place was a person we're all well aware of. It's Jeff Burbage. Drove down from the Toronto area. I think it's in Burlington or Brampton, one of those areas. And he went down to this tournament. He was playing Forge Fathers. Canada represent. And third place was George Gasser playing Plague. Then we got Brian Novak with Rebs, Tim Shulford for GCPS, Kyle Dunkel with Enforcers, Dom Lorien with Enforcers, Ben Kine with Asterians, Douglas Lorien with Forge Fathers, and Neil Grenning with Enforcers, rounding out the top 10 there. Good job, guys. I hope you had fun. I did see some pictures of that on the Dead Zone Dead Zone Fanatics on Facebook, and they look like the guys are having a good time. Rick puts on a good tournament, which is good because he's going to be running the one at Adeptcon. Jack will be in.
That's right.
So you have to suck up to Rick Hall, Jack. That's all we know.
I already know that which energy drink he prefers, and that is a fact.
He's also supposedly going to be bringing me some MechWarrior mechs, so...
Well, there was many addictions being fed that day by the sounds of it.
He's also going to be running another Dead Zone tournament on April 29th after Adeptcon called the Blaine Acquisition. It's 150 points with mercs, though, which is cool. First, second, third, best painted in sportsman prizes. And once again, we'll have the link to the Facebook event page for that one. So please do send in your tournament. Send in any leagues you're in. Get some more players out there. I think the major issue with most people is not knowing where these things are or who's playing around them, especially in England. It seems like the groups in the United States seem to be more active on the Dead Zone. So hopefully get some more British players out there. And yes, let us know and we'll spread the word. All right.
That is correct. I didn't know I needed to step in and reiterate your thoughts and feelings, but yes, everything he said.
It goes double for Jack.
That's right. It goes double for me. That is my motto. That is, if you haven't seen that T-shirt that I wear, it is my calling card. So if you're at Adepticon, you see someone wearing a T-shirt that says that, just feel free to come up. Just grab my junk.
I do hope someone actually has that shirt. That'd be hilarious. You should have said something more generic, like, if you're wearing a shirt that's a black hoodie, come up and grab my junk.
If you're wearing a Colorado Rockies hoodie, just come on up and just grab my junk.
Oh, Oh, you shouldn't tell people to assault Tyler.
What?
Oh, is that a coincidence? Oh.
This show's going off the rails. What happened? What?
Yeah, I think it's the air. The air quality's gone down.
Okay, well let's forge ahead, get this over with for us and for the listening audience. I think it's best if we just get this one in the can quick.
Okay, let's go to a musical interlude so we can regroup. We'll come back with the main topic.
Okay.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Rob and Jack on Dead Zone, the podcast.
Want to bring us back?
Sure. You tell me when, and I will do it with aplomb.
Right now.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. I'm still Jack.
And I'm Rob.
Oh, did I bring a little too much heat for you?
You're very high energy there.
I thought that's what it took. I thought this is the way to get back on track, and clearly I was mistaken. Because, yeah, the results were not what I expected.
Yes. You can tell that we've a little out of sorts after our sicknesses, but we're getting back into it here. We're going to be talking about the Georgia Elite List. It just came out. We'll give our little thoughts about it. You can go on Family Gamers 777. Obviously, Coach did a whole review on it. And on the next team building exercise, which should be end of April after AdeptCon. Well, I guess it's not next one, because the next one will be the Extravaganza year-end award show. But the one after that, in the end of April, we will be talking about the Georgia Elite List in team building exercise. But we're just going to give our little thoughts on it, because I think this is something that we've been wanting, not just the Georgie list, but the goblins in general, so we'll go through it. Sound good?
That sounds good.
And the list is available at, well, the link will be in the show notes. It's some Dropbox somewhere, so we'll put the link up for you. It's a bunch of numbers and letters, so. And Mantic, it's not official. Mantic put it out, but it's not, like, official. Mantic didn't do it on their special letterhead or anything. So,
no, it is, for all intents and purposes, a bit of a laugh, a little lighthearted, a little non-binding contract between the good folks at Dead Zone, the podcast, and Family Gamers, and all the people who have turned Georgie into the icon that he is. And then you, the good people of planet Earth. So it's don't expect to be taking it to a tournament or anything like that.
Yeah, well, especially, and as far as I know, no tournaments allow elite lists because of the nature of them. They're not exactly balanced. Some are really powerful, some aren't. And if you listen to our whole last season of team building exercise, we did talk about elite lists, and generally, they're kind of one note, but fun for if you'd like a little theme going on in your list. Jack, do you have the list up? Can you discuss it in depth?
I do. The leader of the list is obviously, as I just described, the always affable, the lovable scamp that is Georgie the Goblin, who we brought to the center stage. We shone that spotlight, and he did not shy away. He's been a tap dancing fool in that he's tap danced into our hearts and yours. So why is that funny? What?
Because usually you're the tap dancing fool. He's taken your position as the tap dancing fool.
I think there's plenty of room for two people who love to perform to bring joy to the world, Rob. And if that's Georgie and I, then so be it. I will get matching tails and top hat, and we will begin our dance number of joy.
Oh. So, George the Goblin has a 24 points, 3 VPs. He's got a shoot stat of 4+, fight of 6+, survive of 5+, 1 armor. I never thought he wore armor, but size 1, move 1-2, tactician 1. Yeah, armor? Do you ever seen Georgie wear armor? Maybe it's just, I think this is an idealized list.
You know what? I've only ever seen him outside of work. So, he's always super cash.
Yeah, it was the exact word. I was going to say cash.
Yeah, because it's sometimes sweatpants and a t-shirt with a lot of those comic book logos that those kids are reading right now, like Squirrel Girl and just hanging, just chilling like a villain,
chilling like a villain.
Did I steal that too?
You did.
Okay, well, see, you said, "Hey, describe the list," and then you stole that from me. So now I'm just going to read your mind and steal every one of your catchphrases.
Well, we're going to go back and forth, that's all.
either that or I'm a tired trope of a person. Like, I'm just filled with nothing but recycled nonsense.
And... That's both of us, Jack. Don't worry. It's both of us.
Oh, okay.
Please describe his weapon.
Easy now. We're not doing phrasing anymore?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. It's green, probably 3.5 inches.
Well, that's pretty generous.
Okay. Georgie is are you going to do the Excelsior Splat?
That's his weapon. The Excelsior Splat's his weapon. His weapon. The Excelsior is his weapon.
Yeah, but are you going to go with
I thought we were going to go back and forth. I thought this was the whole thing.
I don't know. We should have rehearsed. Okay, the Excelsior. It's the goblin with the golden gun. And Georgie has acquired, and there's the finger quotes. And I'm also imagining him winking too, like the finger quotes, but then he's
wink, like, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, he's winking while he's doing it, which is, I don't know if that's a double negative, which means he actually purchased it legally. But I can see him just kind of like, it's a high-tech sniper rifle, and it is made. He's made some last-minute adjustments to it, so it's got range 10, AP2, sniper scope, and heavy. Which does that make it one of the best in the game?
Oh yeah. Well, I think Nastanza's is the same, but not heavy. If I can remember correctly, is it AP2? But anyways, it's a pretty good sniper scope or sniper rifle.
And the mercs are broken and don't have a real reference, or not a real thing in the game for 2 or 3 years now. So
I do enjoy that anytime a merc comes up that you say that. It's like, just to reiterate, the mercs are broken.
am I wrong?
No, but I like how you're on point on that one. That's your.
Why, thank you, Rob. I think we both can appreciate each other's peculiarities and kind of embrace them.
Nah.
Oh.
So Georgie has a recon of 5+, which is not very good, but he has Georgie. He as loud as he is, he's not very commanding.
Yeah. Well, the recon itself, I think you can just – he's not going to be sneaking up. He's not going to be he's going to – ta-da!
That's true. When he enters a room, you know it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And his splat is the What Do I Know? And it's, you may use an army special result on a command dice to change the dice to a symbol of your choice. And it says, hey, Georgie, you're supposed to have a unique splat. And then his response is, Jack, you do a better Georgie than I do.
Well, when you said, hey, Georgie, it sounded like the commercial they do
for I kind of did that on purpose.
Hey, Georgie. Oh, my God. That commercial is abysmal. I hate it so much. I just wish I would eat poison with a big bowl full of rat poison. Warfarin? Yes, please. That's for Coach.
Hey, Georgie. You're supposed to have a unique splat.
Okay, now I gotta get into character here.
Okay.
Me. What do I know?
Very good.
It was on the spot, passable. Usually I have to go through my registers and, you know.
That's true. You have a whole routine.
Yeah. But I think that was a passable, Georgie.
So, what is his... He also has a special ability that the elite list seem to be starting to have more and more. Ever since the Piper, they're having these special abilities. So please, Jack, tell me what that special ability is.
He's got something called, oh, hell no, that's my man. I think I put the proper inflection there.
Yep, I think it was the exact amount because it wasn't too racist, but it was still effective.
Thank you. I had to overcome my rural Caucasianness, but also not veer. Like, I didn't want to swerve too much into, like, I'm sorry, we're going to have to put a red flag, demonetize that. Clearly, that is a minstrel show. So I think I navigated that properly.
Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Georgie has been known to have caught the eye of many female Hulks. If Georgie is being attacked in close combat, all Hulks within line of sight and range make a free shooting attack on the attacker. This shoot will be at -1 for friendly fire instead of -2. So apparently the much-beloved Georgie the Goblin, the Hulks will come to his aid when he is threatened, even so much as to fire into a square that has them in it. So
no one said the Hulks are smart.
Yeah, that's either a tactical error on their part or they're willing to take that risk.
That's pretty fun. And for troops, he can have mob beasts and goblins and hobgoblins, both of which are new classes. The mob beasts obviously are just mob beasts, but hobgoblins are 5 points, 1 VP. Their stats are 7/7/7, 0 armor, 1 size, -1 to 2 move, and they have the horde ability. So once again, you get the horde ability on these guys with a zip gun, which is just range 2, a little crappy gun, but they have horde. So they're crappy. They're only set fighting on 7+, but you get a bunch of them on you, they start getting extra dice. You have a little bit of a chance to hurt you.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny. Could that be a power list in any way, shape, or form? No. But could that be damn fun to play? Sure.
And then the goblins are similar. They're 8 points, 1 VP, 5 shoot, 7 fight, 6 survive, no armor, size 1/1 to 2. And they also have horde. They have rifles, though, at least, with 5 range. Coach, I believe, said he's going to be changing these, so this is not for sure. I don't know what he's changing them to, but I know he said something about goblins are being changed. So we'll see what happens with that.
Has there been a backlash from the community? People up in arms?
If anything, he's probably going to make them more powerful, I would think.
Because I don't know. I've never encountered any community-based problems, but I'm sure it's out there.
That's right. So that's them. What about specialists, Jack? What they got here?
About the specialists. Well, see, I think this is where the list really shines. We're going to get some variations on what we've had so far, and, you know, it's going to be some goblin snipers. So more goblins. I'm seeing a lack of orcs, which I can appreciate. We all know my stance on orcs and their cartoonish jowls and their foolish GW visages. Yeah, some goblins. And most notably, they're the goblin snipers. Shoot 5. Fight 7, survive 6. Again, at no point do they, you know, strike fear in the hearts of most, but still fun. And following that up with and going along with the splat would be Hulks. Now, I think we don't have a Hulk miniature, and I don't know where you get them or how you get them, but I think they are one of the best looking models for the Marauder faction. I like the Mall Beasts, but the Hulks are fantastic. So if you can get one, good. If not,
I believe they're in the Marauder booster, I believe, are the Hulks to get them. But you have to buy all the rest of them with them, unfortunately. But
you gross.
Mactic doesn't believe in selling things singularly.
Singularly. Have you been drinking?
Maybe.
That's not a no.
And the last specialist is special, isn't it?
The last specialist is Boomer.
That's correct.
That's special.
He's usually a merc, but in this list, he acts as a specialist. He's a unique character, so you can only take one. But yeah. You get to use Boomer as a actual specialist in a list. That's kind of fun.
I suppose so.
That is something that's unique to this list, and maybe in the future we'll get some more of that. Like Freya should be in some dwarf lists, or what else is there? Trying to think. Well, I guess it already is like that with the skyscraper and the what's the other guy called?
But understandably, Boomer is a orc.
No, Boomer's a goblin.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Georgie's cousin.
Because I remember he stank so bad he couldn't go through small spaces, and that was amusing to me. But I always remembered him looking work-like, but maybe...
No, he's a goblin. We don't have Boomer, so maybe you've never seen him in... He's actually a goblin.
I haven't seen him, like, if the physical, but I
know actually might be a hobgoblin. I think he's slightly bigger than a normal goblin, but he's still a goblin.
And him rearing back, yeah, like, I assumed orc, but he might be a hobgoblin.
Yeah. He's littler. He's littler than an orc. He doesn't have the jowls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'm back on board. I apologize for my...
That's why you're upset. You thought he was an orc.
Yeah, I apologize for my Boomer. I should have said Boomer. He stinks so bad he couldn't go through small spaces.
I don't know if that's a rule for him anymore. That was a funny one. That was in version 1.
Yeah.
And they do have some vehicles, obviously, because goblins drive the vehicles. They have a gun track and a stunt bot to choose from. So it is pretty much Jack's goblin list, but with a special character as its leader.
And I do think that the gun track is a nice vehicle. I know people have poo-pooed it in the past, but as Rob was fond of the drones for the Asterians with the
bomb, indirect, yeah.
It's basically a slightly better, cheaper version of that. Like, I like it. I like it. I've never seen one in person. It's another one that I think is rare.
Well, maybe rare for us, just because we hate the Marauders so much, we never really sought out any of this stuff. The stunt bot's rare, but I think the gun track might be part of that booster pack also. I should actually look that up, because if it is, that's almost worth it to get a Hulk and a gun track.
And then, what, take the rest and just, like...
Oh, you throw them in the garbage, obviously. Or burn them, maybe even, like... That might be worthwhile.
Okay, yeah, that's a video idea, I think, actually. Just an effigy, like a big pile.
Yeah, we just get a bunch of orcs and just burn them.
Write a book about the melting point of plastic.
Yes, the booster does include... Actually, it includes really good stuff. It includes, it's Commando Sergeant, which I think, spoilers, I don't like. 4 Commandos, HMG and Assault Weapons for Commandos, Plastic Hulk, 3 Goblin Snipers, 2 Ripper Suits, which is cool, and a Gun Track. That's actually a pretty good set. That might be one of the better sets.
That is. If you wanted to start playing Marauders, and you were like, I just want to put down one purchase one time.
Yeah.
That is a pretty, pretty dope list.
Yeah, $40. $40 US or £25. So that's pretty good. If you want to start a Marauder list, that might be it right there. We probably discussed this when we discussed the boosters, but we can't. Our memories are like goldfish. We don't remember that far back. But yeah. So,
yeah. So next we're going to be discussing the Georgie Elite list.
Oh.
Oh. That felt more like an Alzheimer's joke than a goldfish memory joke.
Dementia's not funny, Jack.
No. I apologize. I apologize to you, my stalwart companion, and I also apologize to the people listening at home.
Yes. They won't remember.
Because they got Alzheimer's.
We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
And welcome back. That was a nice little ditty there, Jack. Well done.
Yes, yes. What the people at home don't know is that I perform that live with my I've got a theremin and a harpsichord here, and I just jam.
You got rid of the xylophone? I thought I heard the tinkle in there.
I don't have the little blue pills that make it possible to play all three at the same time right now, so.
You ran out of pills. I understand. Well, that brings us to Patreon, so Jack can buy some new little blue pills.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
You're afraid of the picture that's going to be in the YouTube, aren't you?
You've read my mind.
Anyways, Patreon. Yes, we have a Patreon, and we do it. Thank our patrons who send us some cash to pay for Jack's blue pills, but also for servers and other things. So it's great. Mostly yes. Shipping, but thank you for the patrons. And a thank you to Andrew Webb. He upped his pledge. And also to Brian Novak and Todd Higman for joining the Nameless Top Hats and Monocle Club. And please do join because you can expect more surprises and early releases of things we're putting out. And yes. We do have some supplementary material coming soon, plus maybe an audio drama that is hopefully getting done.
Hopefully.
Well, it's mostly done, except for a certain person, but we'll not dwell on that.
Okay, well, if you were poised there. You almost named names.
No, everyone else, great job. You did a great job on the audio, but yeah, well, we'll just sit here and wait, I guess.
I guess so. So anyways, thank you to our patrons. Right now we are covering the server cost to host. So that is really all we have the balls to actually hope for. Like that's more than, what I ever dreamt of. So, thank you. And it allows us to do this and then maybe start, branching out a little bit more and
grow. Jack, we put up that $50 thing saying if we got 50 a month, we'd do something. We'd do a live show every month. It's getting close to that. I'm getting a little worried. We might have to move the bars a bit because, Jack, live show every month? I don't know. I'm a little scared. You know what?
I look forward to it. I want that.
Well, Jack will do a solo live show for you every month if you get to the $50. And that's not just for patrons. That's for everyone. We don't want to have exclusive audio or video content. The only exclusive stuff is you get some stuff early and some other things maybe that are exclusive and things we won't mention because we probably get sued by Mantic. But
and we are working on something else too. There is some incentive. There's stuff in the works, and very soon, very very soon, we will be unleashing that upon our patrons.
Yes. And we also like to give some shout-outs to people out there who've been doing cool stuff related to Dead Zone or Mantic in general. And our first shout-outs to Kraken 3D Print Workshop. I can't speak. And that's Fisty Glue Man's company. Well, a company? I don't know if he does have it. And he is selling his 3D files for his buildings he's been doing. And you can go to facebook.com/Kraken Workshop. And we have some pictures here. If you go to the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com, you can see the pictures. And the that best. Is... What's that?
I'm sorry. I just... an audible gasp as I scrolled down and saw some of the stuff. That is...
Yep. He's doing like a industrial kind of walkways and also a landing pad and some destroyed stuff so far. And it's all 3D printable if you buy the files. And I guarantee that once I get my 3D printer, I'll be buying these files because, yeah... They're really cool and really well done.
As glue bottles go, that he's got a head on his shoulders because he's added the interceptor on the landing pad so that you can get the scale there. He's got the models there. You can see everything, what the scale is. So you know exactly what you're getting into. And those are some pretty big structures.
Yeah. And also I like how he's thought about things. Like the stairs have slats in them so you can put your bases in them so they actually stand on the stairs. And nice railings. I think that's where he started. He was originally just doing railings for the Mantic stuff, and he just kept expanding. And I know he also does dungeon stuff too. He has a whole dungeon set that looks really cool. So hopefully we'll get maybe even some Star Saga stuff from him, that kind of 3D printed stuff. And nice work.
Ooh, that's a timely callback.
You just keep coming up.
If that was a Borat you were doing, if that was just one of your drunken slurs, then I apologize.
Yeah, little A, little B. And next is from Joe Katasek. He's Joe K from Arizona, our good friend and Patreon backer. And he's got some mono wheels he's painted up. I won't say where he got these mono wheels, but he is a patron. And he's showing how he has a work in progress to the finished product. Not bad for some Some beat up mono wheels that he's made.
Yeah, that guy knows how to waste money. That's for sure.
And, yes.
I'll just talk about how he based his mono wheels, not that he's a patron.
Oh, yes, he put them. He was just showing off. He put them on coins. I think it's only quarters, though.
It was a double entendre.
And used some of that blue metallic paint. I remember back in the day when I was painting D&D minis, I think I did a dragon in this blue. It's like a metallic gunmetal blue. And I do like it. And he's done a good job on those things.
Yeah, for sure.
Next is Aaron Kingham. He's scratch built a tangle. And a few people are doing this, so I know Tyler's been scratch building a tangle too. But this one's cool. He used the rats from the, on the bottom there, it looks like from the rat swarm from the Piper. And I think that is the Piper on top there. And he's used some, different building walls and, mantic stuff to, build a little platform for the rats to carry the tangle on. So pretty much he's converted a Piper into a tangle, which is kind of cool.
You can see all the component mantic parts in there, like the angles for the walls that are actually the base, and the girders, and the rats that are beside them are from the one swarm. The ones underneath look like they're mostly from another. That's a...
Yeah, neat idea. Once again, the tangle is... I don't know if it's even available yet. It's going to be available soon if it's not yet, but... we have opinions about how good the tangle is in Dead Zone especially. I think it's better in Warpath, but... You can't deny that it's a cool concept, and I like to see people scratch building stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's a wonderful model, whether it plays well or not. Like, it is a dynamite model, and if you can't get your hands on it, well, then it's up to you. We are proponents of, we enjoy when someone thinks outside the box, does it themselves, yeah. Doesn't need to be told what to do, and that is a classic example right there.
Yeah, for sure. And the next one is Sean Roberts. This one's for Jack because he did a cool looking brood mother. But
that,
yeah, it's cool colors. It's like a really pale blue and neat striping of reddish like purple on the tails and in the joints. Nice looking brood mother. But the best part is I love the base. It's a mantic like wall section once again with lots of tufts and ground, but squished under the base we got a I think that's a dwarf or a, yeah, it looks like a dwarf, I think.
Yes, it is. It looks like a steel warrior from the you know what, if you need any more to base with, I think we have a few. I'd like to see a towering a dwarves crushed underfoot by the dozens.
Yeah, but it's a really neat concept.
That looks sick, and I mean that both in the street parlance that is so common with today's urban youth, and as you know, it does look like it's sick, like it's the coloring, like the that's what I like in my Veerman right there.
Yeah, I like the dynamic pose of this brood mother too.
He's got diseases to share.
And we also have Frank Lee. Did some Asterians. I like these ones because it's different colors. It's almost some Iron Man colors. We got some red and gold going on. We saw so many Asterians either done in the mantic colors, which is like a beige and purple, and also in metallics like we did. But I like the different choice here to go some red, gold, and purple. So it's a neat choice for his Asterians. And it's nice to see some people actually painting up Asterians.
Yes, yes, for sure. And like you said, we've seen a bunch of different color schemes, but I don't think I've seen that one where it's kind of like the, because it's got enough purples and reds, it kind of matches with, you know, if you were to say, oh, it's in the same universe as the mantic ones, but it's also got its own little flavor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like how it's different. It's nice to see people doing different things.
Yeah.
And next we have Martin Thurwell. He did a Strider, and there's a few things on the Strider I really like. The body is pretty, you know, normal, but he did on the canopy, he did like almost like it was a readout from the inside, like a heads-up display.
Yeah.
And then on the end of the gun, he made it look so like it was firing and got hot, and the metal changed colors. It's such a good effect. Like, it looks so good. the combination of that, I think the Strider looks pretty wicked.
Yeah, you can see where the paint is scorched, and then it's blackened like it's collected creosote. And the end of the gun still looks hot. Like it looks like it just
yeah, it just fired it. Yeah, yeah, really well done. And then we have a bunch of things from Cedric Bedoya, who's Boston Miniatures, and he does have a Facebook page. You can go to it. B Miniatures on Facebook. And
Google miniature BMs.
No,
don't do that. We'll just follow our links.
And Jack, we are hanging out with Boston Miniatures on the Family Gamers Live Hangout recently. And
yes,
Jack didn't remember seeing his stuff, but I'm sure he remembers now because we have some really cool. He did some GCPS with all the different folds of cloth showing, and really well done.
Yeah, I'm looking at the dwarves here now, and that looks like look at the face on that.
Yeah, he did a Brocker, and it looks really good. He did a Steel Warrior, and then the Brocker Engineer with his two bots. Like Boston Miniatures is a professional. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. It's almost like he got different miniatures, like the high quality one offs. And then the ones I get are like, the 30 millionth out of that one mold.
Yeah. He makes them look good.
That's the sound of it. Because my paintbrush just unabashedly destroys any detail.
And then while he was hanging out with us, I believe he was finishing off this, he was doing all of the different parts of Star Saga, all the screens and the weapon cabinets and stuff. And the effect he did on the screens to get like a glow effect is uncanny, frankly.
He told us he used ink to do it. So that's something.
Yeah. Like white with some, but just the placement, like it's really well done. He's a professional. Look it up.
That's right. And it was a bold statement for you to say that when you were done, the Star Saga stuff, it would make his look like dog. So. Let's take a look and see what you can do, Rob.
Oh no, I believe I was the one doing all the miniatures. You're doing all the terrain. Don't you remember that?
No, that is not factual at all.
I believe it is. I believe that was the deal.
No.
Well, let's go to a commercial or not commercial. Sorry, a musical break, and we'll discuss it, and then we'll be back.
If we were to put commercials in, we would be taking advantage of our fine listeners. And I won't have it.
No.
That's just that's unprofessional. That is quite frankly disgusting.
Commercials suck. We know that much.
In today's day and age, if you still have commercials in your podcast, a half an hour podcast, a 3 hour podcast, it's just shows a wanton lack of respect for the community at large.
Except for Team Billionaire Sex.
Oh yeah, we still do put commercials in there. So yeah, that obviously, once you win awards, I think
that's the key, right?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hi, Mark.
I'm Rob.
And we're from Countercharge. Yeah, Countercharge. It's all about Kings of War. But, we need to talk about Dead Zone. We flip around the podcast aisle, and for some reason we keep coming back to Dead Zone, the podcast, with Rob and Jake.
Or Bob and Jake.
Would you like to bring us back?
The only way to win is not to play.
Are you quoting Ender's Game?
I'm quoting Matthew Broderick's finest work.
War Games.
Would you like to bring us back?
Oh, you thought I sound like a robot.
Yeah.
But you know too much.
You're conscientiously enunciating now to avoid the
slang.
The travesty-strewn podcast thus far. disgusting, disgusting, slovenly drunkenness. Really, it's hurting both our friendship and the podcast, Rob. And I'm
Jack. We're back on. We're back on the air.
Back to the Dead Zone podcast, and we were just discussing our stuff. So please gather around, my barn swallows. Let's all have a little talk about our stuff.
Yes, our stuff. Would you like me to go first, or would you like to go first?
That is up to you. What do you want to do?
I'll go first, because I got mine done first, I think. No, probably not, actually. I think you got yours done before mine. We both did the same thing. We both did Forge of Other Tanks, which is a rare occurrence that we end up doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, and I think you put yours together first, so I stole the concept that you did for a construction, and then I painted mine first. And then you stole a bunch of drugs from a pharmacy and was arrested.
That's not what we're talking about.
Oh.
Yes, I figured out a way to magnetize it. We discussed that before, but I finally painted it up. And I decided to go with a dirty blue and silver kind of gunmetal color scheme for my tank. And I wanted to make it look really oily and stuff all over it, and I think it turned out okay.
Yeah, I like it. It matches the color scheme of your army very well.
And yeah, I was using the I was going a little crazy with my Tamiya smoke tint for the greasy griminess of it. I may have gone overboard on some parts, but I do like it.
But now that I'm looking at it, that looks more so like your Enforcer's color scheme.
Yeah, my Enforcers are a similar color, but I do have some of my Enforcers are that color. They're more chrome and blue, but, I also have dwarves that are this color, so it all works out in the end. And I also did the, halter half track, the same idea. And the thing with those ones is it's just trying to pick out which plates you're gonna keep metal and which ones you're gonna go blue. There's so many plates all over the place on that thing.
Yeah, I've seen people, for some reason, that circle on the side, a lot of people will make that the color of the rest of the vehicle. Like, that circle, everyone seems to pick up on as a big, like a focal point on the side, maybe to break up the thing. Me, right over it.
On the tank, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Same with both, yeah. I just was like, okay, what parts am I going to go silver? Which ones am I going to go blue? And then it also, I had a tank from Warpath, or not Warpath, sorry, Warzone Resurrection from, Protos that I got at Adeptcon last year. And I decided to do it in, I zenithed it. And then I just did with the red, Tamiya, clear stuff. I wanted to see what I could do, make it some candy apple color. So these are some shots of that. It's not great shots, but they, it actually looks better in person, but I just wanted to show that one off to show how good Tamiya paints are, because I do like that ghost tint. So, Jack, you did a Forge Father tank also.
I did a Forge Father tank, and if you are looking much like Rob, we made it so the back was modular. You could change the actual back canopy. It's not like just the weapons can be changed. Since one's a troop transport, it's got like a boxier back end, and the weapons go on a second one. So we made it so that you can swap that in and out if it will at all ever be useful. I don't know, but
yeah,
it was worth it just as a thought experiment. We were led to believe that you couldn't do it, and we've done it now. So, and yeah, I went with a green camouflage because I assume as of right now, all the Dead Zone, conflicts appear to be above ground, and the dwarves are a Viking type rather than an exclusively mining type. So I thought, well, they would know what camouflage is and how to use it. So that's what I did. Not like thematic, like a lot of people have like a whole thing. And I like my camouflage.
Yep, your dwarves are a little smarter.
Just not trying to break the mold. I think that's their deal. And so, yeah, they're fun models to paint. And I think if you've burned yourself out, say with that last GCPDS, you know, getting all the little Gotham badges painted on the little gold badges on one of them. And you're like, I need something different. The vehicles are a nice change to jump from the models, the miniatures themselves, to the vehicles. The Tunnel Runner was fun. There's plenty of differences where you can, you know, kind of shake off that the doldrums of like, oh, a whole strike force of one thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I like doing the vehicles because, yeah, you know, it's also, you don't have to be as delicate with it. You can really mess with the weathering, and it's not like you're trying to paint eyeballs or anything. You can go whole hog on them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just step back a little from the like minutia. Yeah, and I also painted a Strider because we have to bring a few extras to Adepticon. So Rob doesn't even know what it looks like.
No,
but I'll be sending pictures of it. And I'm not even going to describe it. I know Rob we went crazy one night making BattleTech Striders, and then the call came from Community Pat. The red phone on Rob's desk rang, and he picked it up. And I had to tip back the bust that's on my desk, the head, push the button, and go down the fire pole to my painting laboratory. And now I have a Strider, an additional Strider to Adepticon.
Yes, and both of our Striders. I forgot to mention this, but I did do a Strider. Similar idea. Pat wanted for the mech zone, he needed some extra Striders. So we're like, well, we could bring normal Striders, but let's bring our crazy ones. So I did one. Mine has two Genling guns, but I believe yours has two of the big guns from the one of the terrain packs, aren't they, those things?
Yeah, I believe they're from the landing zone. I think, what are they called? They're called the burst.
Yeah, heavy burst lasers, maybe?
Heavy burst laser, yeah.
But it's not even the one that's made for the mech. These ones are made for the terrain sets.
And
I have two Genlings, one in each arm, that we modded up to look like to look pretty good. And then yeah, you got that one with the extra ammo packs on the back, and there's a lot of cutting and re-gluing and some milliput to fill in some gaps. And
like we said before, we like to see some kit bashing. We don't need to be told what to do and when to do it. We just get on. The legs are on backwards.
I forgot we did the reciprocating legs.
They look like fawns or demons of some sort. And mine has a bitching. Mine's based on the Lich from Adventure Time when he was descending onto the planet of Earth. So that's for if in your mind's eye. If you don't want to look at the pictures, just imagine that. And
mine I based on Solaris 7 from BattleTech. I was like, well, what would a fighting mech look like. So he's got a nice once again a candy apple paint job with some decals all over him, and I think people should be surprised and confused when they play Mech Zone or whatever it's called at the Adepticon.
Yes, they'll definitely know that a couple of lunatics had a hand in building these contraptions.
That's right. They'd be like, "Dear God, what is that thing?"
In fact, if dear, sweet, saintly Community Pat, who puts up with our shenanigans way more than he really should, if he doesn't just immediately go, "Guys, you can't look at that. Come on, this is a sanctioned event. You can't have that." You don't.
Well, they are Mantic models still, at least. Like we never. Well, it's all Mantic.
That is true. That is true.
So you can't complain, Pat. So stop complaining.
my theoretical little theater of the mind there, and you're going to lash out at him for what part he played in my imagination?
Yeah, that's right, Pat. Stop getting in Jack's imagination and causing us trouble.
Get off that bearskin rug in your nude form.
Oh, my. But, those are our stuffs. I think that's about it, Jack. I think we've covered everything.
That's good. This show has been a wild and crazy one, but we're We're experiencing a long weekend. We've been productive. The fruits of that labor will be revealed very shortly, first to our patrons. But we've been working hand in hand with the fine folks at over at Family Gamer 777. So we've been busy, and I think it's starting to show. We're cracking a little bit.
Yes, that's right. It's gone too far, Jack.
It has. We may have to go to rehab.
And that rehab is called Adeptcon.
Yeah, it's not as cush, and you know, you're not touching horses and being pampered like the one Harvey Weinstein's gone to, but it's gonna be a rigorous kind of rehabilitation of our minds, our body, and our soul.
Theoretically.
And what would help if you see me in my Colorado Rockies hoodie, and you just come up behind me, just gingerly touch my shoulders and, you know, whisper in my ear something. Like the craziest thing you can think of that normal people would be like, oh my God, I'm going to call the police. For me, that is like a little like a spring shower. By finding a four-leaf clover while a jazz band plays seductively in the background. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
I feel sorry for whoever is wearing that clothes. But, yeah, so if you are coming to Adeptcon, we do want to play some games with you and hang out. So let us know you're there. And if you really want to represent, like Todd Higman last year, you can go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast. And get some shirts or a hoodie. Not a Colorado Avalanche hoodie, but a hoodie nonetheless. You can even get it with Georgie the Goblin's face on it.
And it'll make you more competitive, honestly. If you're in the tournament.
That's true. Todd ended up in third place.
Yeah, it's proven scientifically without any hyperbole, without any false claims. Todd did come in third, and that shirt was on his person. So, like, just it's science. Just science.
Yeah, exactly. And also, we do love our patrons over on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/deadzonepodcast, and you can join us there. Sign up, chuck in a buck, as we like to say, which we've stolen from Mr. Sunday Movies.
I don't like to say it, actually.
Okay, what do you like to say?
I like to say, a good day to you, sir. Good day.
Oh, there you go. That's the secret, catchphrase for patrons.
That's right. And then Cherry starts screaming, and the genie pops his face out of the box, and he starts screaming, and the typewriter with the googly eyes, he starts screaming. It's amazing.
If anybody's old enough to get that reference, I'd be impressed. I think most people remember Pee-wee from his days over at the porn shack. Actually, even that's an old reference. What has Pee-wee done lately? I guess he had that movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It had Joe Montanello in it, and
Deathstroke. Yeah, Deathstroke was in a Pee-wee Herman movie.
That's a kind of a joke that writes itself. You just have to switch that around a little bit, and you got some comedy gold.
Anyway, this has been Dead Zone, the podcast number 80, TRS 80, and. This is February. One more month. We're be at Adeptcon, and then back to regular programming. We'll continue to show your Dead Zone love, or our Dead Zone love. I don't know. Oh, also, we're doing a Hellboy Minute. We're doing updates on the new Hellboy Kickstarter that's going to be starting in April. I just do a quick rundown on the latest news. Ronnie was on a podcast recently talking about it, so we might have a new one coming up soon. With any new information he might have let leak. So we'll get that out. And I'm sure after Adeptcon we'll have some more, because we'll have some gameplay. We'll actually get to play the game. So I'm sure we'll have more to talk about. Jack might even show up on that show, maybe, if I let him. And we could talk about the Hellboy.
It's only a minute. I think I can squeeze that into the schedule.
That's right. We have to talk really fast. If it's not a minute, we'll have to speed our voices up. We'll sound like chipmunks.
Okay, well, you know, I'm Albert.
And I'm Theodore. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.